You do the intro. Don't loop me in. It's always awkward when you loop me in.
All right, let's get stuck into it this week. I want to quickly give everyone an update on my email and calendar issue. If you guys remember last episode, I had a bit of a rant about the corporate email account basically ruining everything on my phone. I think we resolved on trying to reset the settings, Kai. I think it was your suggestion to see if that worked.
Yep. How did that go?
Yeah, here's an update. It didn't work. If anything, it just made everything worse because I had to, you know, re-log into every Wi-Fi network. And all my settings were reset. So that didn't help. It didn't help at all. And so now I think, well, as we speak, actually, give you guys a live update. I actually just reset my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I've completely wiped it and I'm restoring it now.
Yep.
And hopefully that does the trick. I'm quite pessimistic because I think the restore process is literally a lift and shift.
Yeah.
Where it drops everything back onto the phone.
Yeah.
But maybe just something in the process of moving around, something gets picked up and just gets cleaned up, hopefully. But we'll see. It's based on the little pie on my screen, it's 2/3 of the way done. So maybe it'll be done before we finish recording.
Yeah, that is interesting. I wonder, if that's going to work. If not, you might have to restore to an earlier point before you make that update. Or you might just have to delete that app and then restore it.
I can't. I don't
know if that will work.
Like, I can't. Like, I deleted it. I've tried deleting the app. The thing is, you can't. There's no, like, consumer-facing way to un it. So what's wrong is that the account's still there. The corporate work account, the email calendar, that's still there, and there's no way to delete it because normally when you delete the overarching app that governs it, that should go away with it.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong is that it's stuck there now and it's just sort of living on its own and it can't get overwritten either. So that seems to be the issue right now. I did raise it with IT.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, yeah, no, this is actually a known issue. And I'm like, great, fix it. And they're like, yeah, no, we can't. I'm like, all right. You're going to have to wait for, you know, the next iOS update, 14.5. And this was like a week and a half ago. I'm like, all right, sure. I looked up 14.5. Oh, yeah, it's in beta. It's almost soon. It's almost going to come out. I've been waiting. So I was like, nah. It's gotten to a point now where because the app's still there, but I can't access any mail, the mail app is actually draining my phone. So I've got a 12 Pro Max. It's a pretty new phone. It lasts like maybe 6 hours before it hits like low battery.
Yeah.
And this is it just sitting on the desk when I'm not doing anything.
That's not good. That's not good.
So I didn't actually notice because I've been working at a desk lately.
Yeah.
And I've left it plugged in. But I didn't plug it in one day. I was like, why? What's going on? I'm not even listening to music on this thing. Why is this thing draining already? It's like 2 o'clock. And the phone is yelling at me saying it's low. I'm like, I don't have a cable. What do I do? So then I looked into the battery app and it said it was mail. It's used 52% of overall battery, which was insane.
Can you turn push off?
So I tried that. I think the accounts are stuffed. It's just not responsive. It just keeps trying to. It keeps trying to do it.
The other thing you could do is block cellular for that app.
Oh yeah, true.
So when you're out and about, it stops pushing for new mail.
That's true because the whole mail client's stuffed anyway. No mail is coming in. Mm.
That's really annoying, though.
Yeah, it's annoying because it's a built-in app, right? Like if it was just Outlook, I'd delete it and start again. So I did try deleting the mail app. Didn't work because you actually can delete the stock apps now.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, but the thing is, it just deletes, but then it comes back and it doesn't fix itself. So,
okay.
Because it's part of the OS almost. It's the account's baked into the system.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. It's update. Here we go. We're at 3/4 now from 2/3. We're speeding up. I did this about 3 hours ago. I mean, on a side note, like restoring the phone, I know why it takes so long because I actually checked, like the backup is literally a clone of your phone. It's 200 and something gigabytes of stuff. And so here's a little side note off on a tangent. My Mac, which has a terabyte hard drive, which isn't even that big, but it's plenty, started yelling at me lately saying, hey, you're running out of space. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? How did I feel a terabyte? Because I've got another hard drive that has everything else that's pretty big on there. Turns out it's my iPhone backups. Four of them will actually fill up the whole hard drive. So I can only have one backup on there now if I want to even, you know, have some wiggle room for the hard drive. So just a word of caution when you're buying a phone and buying big storage spaces, but you sort of don't have a choice these days because you fill that up so quickly.
So, Steve, pretty big news in my from my perspective anyway, but Apple's decided to discontinue their HomePods.
Yeah, I think it's bullshit because I have one and I love it. And I think it's the best, you know, speaker you can get for, I don't know how much it is. Actually, I didn't pay for it. Someone bought it for me as a gift. So I just think it's a great speaker and I'm actually really sad. And it makes no sense to me either why they discontinued it. But yeah, no. So when did they come out with this?
As in when did they launch it?
No. So they launched it
4 years ago, I think.
Oh, wow. That's been a while. Okay. Four years ago.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I absolutely love it. The sound quality is amazing. Like, it's just, you know, way, way ahead of your Google Home, Google Nest, and your Amazon Echoes, right? I think the issue is just people are comparing to those things. And so when you look at the price point, this is, you know, $499 RRP compared to your Google Nest and Amazon's, which are in the low hundreds. Right, so that's a bit of a bummer. I am extremely disappointed as well. But you know, if retailers start clearing it out, I might get another one and make mine a stereo.
Well, Apple's stopped selling them now, haven't they? I think officially. We'll have to do a live fact check, but I'm pretty sure that Apple stopped selling them, or they said they would stop selling them until they're out of stock.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I actually wonder how the sales of the HomePod Mini is going.
Well, you assume that's going better because it's actually they only launched it.
It's a lot more affordable.
Yeah, it's a lot more affordable. But like what you said, everything in this market is, oh, it's only $299 now. This thing's dirt cheap. Oh, wait, sold out.
Wow.
Oh, no, there's white ones. Do you want a white one?
I have a black one, though.
No, this is... No wonder why. This is US. Apple.com.au.
Good one, Steve. It's still $469 on the Australian website.
Okay. That sounds more in line with what I thought, how much it was. Yeah, nah.
It is in stock, though.
Both of them? Oh, yeah. There's heaps of them in stock.
Yeah. Huh. So they're probably just waiting till they...
Just clearing out the warehouse.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it was always a funny product because it was... It was definitely worth the money, but I don't think anyone wants to spend that much money on a speaker, right?
Yes.
Like, other than you and I don't know anyone else that actually has a HomePod in their house. Like, a lot of people have Google Home Minis. They've got Amazon Dots or whatever they're called, Alexa Dots, or whatever, you know, all of those ones. And they're like, what? You can get them for $20-$30. They're even free half the time. When you buy something from JB, you get like one or two thrown in with it. And so, you know... People aren't used to paying even three digits for it. So then this product where it's basically, I think it was $500 when it launched and it's at $469 now, it still is about $500. It just, I don't know if it was appealing to the mass market at that price point.
It is high. Like it's, you know, it's trying to combine two things, right? Like great sound and a smart speaker system.
Siri sucks, by the way.
Siri is pretty average at best. But at the same time, like if you were going to spend that much and you wanted a good sound quality, you know, like just putting yourself in the perspective of retailers or consumers where, you know, if you're going to spend that much, you would either get a dedicated speaker system, you know, like sound, portable sound music players, or you would actually spend a little bit more and get, you know, dedicated bookshelf speakers, for example, if you really wanted the good audio quality.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? It turns out, like, I guess Apple made a bet that people wanted both. Turns out people want one or the other, like at the bottom end of the spectrum where everything like from like Google and Amazon playing, where it's low end but it's cheap and it's more about the smarts rather than the sound. Apple tried to bring both in and did the sound very well, didn't do the smarts very well, but then again at that price point there are other products that just do the sound even better at that price point as well, so that they were just banking on a niche that never happened. But it's weird that they killed it off though, because like I don't see any downside in them keeping it there. Like it wouldn't have taken that big of a production line, and if they keep selling it at that price, and isn't that all just incremental gains?
Yeah, so I guess the sales must have been pretty average for them to make that decision. It must just not be moving much at all.
Yeah, because it arguably disrupts their product line now. Like, originally, if you think of the lineup, there was the HomePod, there was the HomePod Mini, which meant, by definition, you now have an ecosystem because it's more than one thing. But now you have the HomePod Mini, which is mini to nothing. It's just, it's the HomePod now, right? It's the default just the HomePod. I mean, it makes me think, are they getting rid of this so then they can free up the HomePod name for something else? Or I don't know what they're trying to do here. Because they can't have the HomePod Mini as the only thing in their lineup.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe they are getting rid of this to build up from the HomePod Mini to a bigger version that's probably at a cheaper price point, but it wouldn't be, you know, as premium a quality as the original HomePod, maybe.
Yeah, I hope they don't pull out of the smart speaker business in general. Like, the HomePod's really good, and I hope they could, like, the thing I'm scared about is this isn't, like, a normal speaker where you can just plug a cord in, right, and you can use that until the speaker literally breaks. This is powered by a chip still. It's got an OS on there that, you know, obviously we as consumers can't see, but it's contingent on software updates. So it works great, and it probably will work great for the next 2 years. But after that, will they end up, what's the word that they use? Like, making it obsolete? But because they control the software on, like, the speaker side, and they control the software that links into it in terms of your phone or your iPad, I wonder what's actually the life left in all of these HomePods that we've got now.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It'd be pretty shitty if they, if they stop supporting it.
But the thing is, I don't know. It's weird that, like, I don't see a reason why they would stop supporting it, because there's no real security implications attached to the HomePod. I mean, I don't think it runs HomeKit. I think that still runs off your phone or your iPad rather than the HomePod. I'm not sure about that, actually.
I think it is still running off your phone. That's right.
Yeah, so there shouldn't be any security or much security implications around that. And if anything, like, they need, like, for this ecosystem to work, you need scale, right? You just need more devices around the house. And even though you're not selling any more HomePods, having one extra device around the house just helps add more scale to the network.
Yeah, no doubt. And you would think it's pretty incremental if they're going to keep the HomePod Mini going, right?
Yeah, I assume they're running on very similar code bases and software. So if you're going to keep one going, you keep the other going. But I don't know. Apple's a bit weird. They're quite ruthless in killing things off as well. So did you see, this is probably old news by now, but have you seen the new Intel ads?
I haven't.
This is great. I find this very funny from a consumer's perspective, just watching these two companies have a go at each other now. Do you remember the I'm a Mac and I'm a PC ads?
Yep.
Do you remember the guy who played the Mac?
Yeah, the guy that ended up in Die Hard, I think.
I think he was in something.
I think he was in Die Hard, yeah.
So what Intel have done is they've hired him. And now they're basically having a go at Apple because Apple's moving off the Intel chips based on their own Apple Silicon chips. And now he's going out and you got to watch it. Let me get the link I sent you. Watch it. Watch one of them now. It's pretty funny. I can't believe you haven't seen this, by the way.
Well, is it just the one ad?
No, there's like a whole series of them.
I've seen the Sus one.
No, like, just YouTube Intel ads. Yeah, just watch it. It's pretty funny.
2 hours later.
It's pretty petty.
It's very petty. I find it hilarious because they've gone out of their way to emulate those old ads and even plucked the person that they had on their side and brought them over to their side now as well.
It's pretty lazy, to be honest.
Oh, I find it hilarious. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. They didn't make one ad. They've made a whole series of them. Like, if you watch them, they're all in the same sort of train of thought anyway. So, like, you watch one, you've seen them all. But I find it intriguing that they managed it. I find it interesting that he agreed to do it.
Yeah, well, he has no allegiance to Apple, right? Like, he gets paid, so why not? It seems like a very, you know, desperate move by Intel.
And it's a bit weird why Intel's spruiking it as well. Like,
yeah, that's right, because they don't they don't benefit from the direct sales because they provide the chips,
right,
to third parties. And I think they're also shifting towards doing third-party manufacturing for other chip makers.
Yeah,
so considering that. Yeah,
I heard that as well. So after this came out, this was about a week ago probably, the news came out that I think that Intel was going into third-party fabrication business. Like, they're like, hey, we've got the scale, we've got the factories, we know what we can do. Give us a design and we can make your chips for you. Which is a bit interesting because I guess, I don't know, because they got into a dominant position because they not only had the fabrication skills, but the design that worked, that they just kept iterating and it just worked.
Mm.
But yeah, it's bizarre that they're fighting the fight for the OEMs, because it's weird because Apple's still buying Intel chips as well. Like, they haven't fully moved away.
That's right. So this is just a super petty, like, last ditch. We're not happy that you've created your own chips and it's doing so much better.
100%. This is like watching a bad breakup. A really funny bad breakup.
Yeah. I just saw Marquez's tweet on it. Tell me you're insecure without telling me you're insecure. That's 100% it, isn't it?
It's one of the funniest ads. But there was an interesting take that I forgot if it was on ATP or connected to other tech podcasts, but apparently they think that these ads aren't actually meant for consumers. They're more meant for Intel's workforce, more as a sort of rallying cry to sort of bring everyone together, because they've been under fire, like, over the last 5 to 10 years. They haven't been able to deliver the chip designs. They've pushed back, like, plans, 3-4 years in a row in terms of what's the next iteration going to be. Because, like, I don't know if you know, but normally they go in a TikTok cycle, right?
Yeah.
Where tick is... they make the architecture smaller, and then TOC is, I don't know, they make it better. That's a dumb person's way of breaking that down. But I think they got to a point where they went from TikTok, and then it was just TOC, because they couldn't get it smaller, and they had to keep pushing it back because they couldn't get the yields they needed at the smaller, what are they called? Like the transistor sizes?
Yeah.
So, like, if you look at... I think they're talking, we're talking tiny, tiny, tiny sizes now, but like, it's like, I think Apple's up to, and ARM's different, but I think they're into 5 nanometers this year. And I think Intel's still at 7 or 9 or something. I don't know. Numbers are going to, I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but round about there. They just haven't been able to drive that innovation to get that year on year improvement. But other organizations like AMD as well, like AMD is starting to become a viable alternative to Intel now in terms of Windows computers. You see Windows computers with AMD now on them.
Yeah. A lot more as well, because they come at a much cheaper price point and much higher performance as well.
Exactly. So, like, Intel's monopoly is gone now. They've been eroded. So I think it makes sense, now that I think about it, why they're moving to the third-party fab. Like, they've got to survive and they need a stream of cash to fuel that innovation if they're going to try and get back to the top. But at the same time, boy, are they in a world of pain.
Yeah, they are. And this is like, if there was anything to mark a descent, like, this is it. So,
well, and they're spending money on this, right? Like, ads aren't free. Ads cost money. That guy needs to get paid a salary.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see whether Apple responds, because Apple can be quite petty as well. So it'll be interesting if Apple brings Justin Long back. I don't know if they can, or whether he's under like a contract to only work with Intel, because that would be something that you'd surely do if you were Intel and you signed up. It's like, you can't make an ad for Apple in the next, I don't know, 2 or 3 years or something. But that'd be really funny, because the transition for Apple to Apple Silicon as well, it's barely started.
Yeah,
they've moved the Mac Mini and the MacBook Air and the, I call it the non-pro MacBook Pro.
the non-16-inch one.
Well, no, even the 13-inch one, there's two tiers of 13 inches, right? One doesn't have a touch bar, which is the non-pro MacBook Pro, and then the one with the touch bar, which is a proper, usually a much beefier CPU.
Yeah.
And so they moved the bottom tier one off to M1, the M chips. They haven't moved anything else yet. And so in their lineup, they've still got the proper 13-inch MacBook Pro, the 16-inch MacBook Pro, the iMacs, 21 and 27 inch. They've now killed the iMac Pro. Also, rest in peace. The iMac Pro.
Oh, no really?
Longer. Yep, they've killed the iMac Pro.
Yeah.
Did you not see that?
I might have.
Oh, I probably should have spoken about that. Like, nah, they killed the iMac Pro. They no longer sell it.
I was thinking the Mac Pro.
No, the Mac Pro they still have. So the tower they still have.
Yeah.
But the iMac Pro, which was supposed to be, I think that was where they wanted. They never wanted to make a tower again. They wanted the iMac Pro, like the all-in-one, the nice design. But then everyone got really upset when they didn't get a Mac Pro. So they ended up making a new Mac Pro anyway.
Fair enough.
But yeah, they discontinued that. Actually, here we go. 2 weeks ago, the iMac Pro.
All right.
Yeah. But I digress. Like, they've got, like, the majority of their lineup is still on Intel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
exactly. So the timing of it just seems ridiculous.
Yeah, and I know that they're about to. I think the new iMacs are about to drop, which takes probably to about 50% of the lineup moves to Apple Silicon. But even then, the transition hasn't even started yet properly.
Yeah, yeah. Petty stuff. Let's see what Apple does.
Did you see that WWC got announced?
No, I didn't see it. How are they doing it this year?
Same as last year, all virtual. So it's 1st of April now. I think it literally dropped today or maybe yesterday. It's within the last 24 hours, I think. I didn't realize we were at WWDC time already. I didn't realize it was April already in the year, but that's a different
it's
topic.
Quick.
Yeah, no, the year's flown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So about 2 months into WWDC, they announced it. It's going to be on the 7th of June this year, and it's going to be, just like last year, an online-only event.
Yep.
It's really cool what they did. So I think most people who listen to this would know WWDC is Apple's annual software conference. That's where they usually announce the new iOS, macOS, watchOS, tvOS, all of their software. That's like their whole software shindig. Where normally in a pre-COVID time, they would get at least hundreds of developers from around the world in together. I think it's a week-long conference to talk about what's coming up in terms of the next wave of software that they're trying to develop. And so this sort of is, like, this conference, as much as it is one of the biggest events that Apple runs in the year, it's not meant for consumers as much as it kind of is meant for consumers as well. It's meant to be for developers. They're really putting a peg in the sand around, all right, this is what we're going to be launching throughout the year. We need you guys to get on board.
Yep.
So that's what it is. They're sort of signposting it. And then you probably know by now that software that normally doesn't launch until the new iPhones, the new watches, all those things start to come out. That's when the software usually goes live. And so between June and then is all beta testing and time for developers to really get their apps in order so it works on the platform.
Yep, yep. And what are the top rumors?
Well, we've got iOS 15, of course. Like every year, it's going to be a new version of iOS. That'll be an interesting one. Like, I'm not sure what they're going to do with iOS this year. I hope, given how buggy it is, as we've witnessed with my email and calendar, I hope this is going to be one of their let's get our house in order years.
Yep.
So I'm not sure if you remember. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. They literally came out and said, this year is not about features. This year is about cleaning the code up, making sure it's stable, cleaning up bugs, dealing with all that stuff because we know there's been a lot of technical debt over the last couple of years because we've just been pumping out features. We need a year to pretty much reset and we'll save the big stuff for next year. And I think that's what they're going to do for iPadOS as well. I don't think iPadOS had anything major last year. So I think it's time for iPadOS to get a feature sort of year. Which I think will be good, at least for you anyway, because you just bought an iPad. Hopefully they can tackle multitasking in a better way.
And the widget feature, I think that's missing. So having widgets on the app screen is not yet available. So you can have the widget in the, I think it's called launch control or something.
The left bar.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Oh, so the widgets are only on iOS.
Yes.
It's not on iPadOS. That's weird. Yeah. So, I find it weird how I know why they bifurcated. It's the same code base, but they bifurcated it now into iOS and iPadOS versus everything used to just be iOS. But that I didn't know that, actually. That goes to show how much I use my iPad. I actually don't know where
it is. Yeah. No, that's right. So it would be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, no, it should be really good. I want to see what they do with the watch as well. Because usually
it's probably time for an upgrade soon, isn't it?
Well, yeah, my watch is starting to get a bit long in the tooth. the battery actually, it doesn't really last a full day anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it's starting to, it's nearing the end of its life, my poor watch. But no, I don't think there'll be any hardware announcements. WWDC in the last, like, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, they've pretty much made it just software. But yeah, even then, software is, it's like a free upgrade for your phone, right? Unless you have an old phone, it's going to become obsolete. If you started your iPhone 6, we'd be still saying, oh, yeah, is it going to make it this year?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you saw that. Let me share this with you so you can see it. Do you remember last year when they made the transition to Apple Silicon?
Yeah.
And there was that scene in the video, because everything was, like, online, right? The scene in the event where Craig Federighi opened, like, the screen of a laptop and it just turned on and it had, like, this face.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, so the this year, the artwork or the splash art for WWDC is pretty much that, but with an emoji.
Yep. It's a 3D emoji.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, it's they're clearly trying to just make that moment again. With the little emoji, because it's not just what, like, I sent you one of them, but, like, they've got multiple of them with different people with different things as well.
It's nice. It looks good. it looks pretty good. No, I just, yeah, haven't seen the collateral that came with it.
Yeah, so I dropped it in the chat. You can see, look, the two there.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, there, so that's what they're trying to do with that. It's a bit of a, if you're not a nerd, you're not going to realize.
Yeah.
But, like, everyone caught on to that really quickly. But some people actually said, oh, and I don't know if they're reading too much into it, but, like, all the rumors about Apple glasses, right? Everyone said, oh, look, why are they wearing glasses? And why can they see things on their glasses?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's a reflection. I think you're reading too much into it.
It's probably. I think they're probably hinting at a facelift to the calendar app, maybe.
Well, you can make your predictions here and we'll have them on record.
Yeah, because the calendar hasn't been great, right? Like, it serves its purpose, but it's not as intuitive as, say, you know, Outlook.
Well, remember, my calendar doesn't work, so it could be better.
Yeah, so maybe they're revamping it.
Well, the other thing that's interesting is in the last couple of events now, they've really lent into Memojis.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I actually haven't made mine.
What?
Probably should get around to it.
Oh, God. No, make one, because I heard from somewhere else that apparently this might be their way of just slowly easing people in a more virtual world, you know, when the glasses eventually do become a thing. So you're used to living in a virtual, sort of shifting the mindset sort of thing, you know, Apple moving on a different level.
Yeah.
But again, I think that's just people making shit up.
We'll see.
So that's all we have for this week's episode. Thanks for joining in, everyone. Thank you to our subscribers and our followers, especially those on Twitter. If you haven't subscribed or followed us yet, we're at ClickCastFM. Otherwise, you know, if you have any feedback, any questions, shoot them through the emails in the show notes. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks.